All right, before the concrete block, many Irish people built their homes from cob, which is a mixture of mud, clay, sand, straw and water. And now, spurred on by new courses and environmental concerns, cob houses are once again appearing on our landscape. In gentle contrast to oversized mansions, I suppose, from the heady days of the Celtic Tiger, these more subtle dwellings complement their surroundings. And while they last for hundreds of years, they will eventually disintegrate back into the earth without leaving a trace. My next two guests, who've rushed into studio there, our husband and wife team. How are you?
Good, thanks.
They've designed a 1,400 square foot cob home in Sligo, from where they now run courses in natural buildings, DIY and carpentry. Fela Butler and Colin Ritchie, good morning to you both.
Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Good, yeah, not a bother. Okay, well, who's going to start us off? What exactly is cob? There's a big lump of mud and straw handed over, sitting on the desk.
Oh, she's heavy now.
Which is about the size of two... small building bricks, I would have
thought. Yeah, that is actually a sample made in a biscuit tin, is what that is.
Okay, so the USA biscuit tin, that's the size to think of.
But the whole house is made monolithic. That's blocks.
It would be solid of that, so you don't make bricks and then, you know, build them together. That's just a sample so you can see what it is. But it's, you know, when it's finished, it's a big, solid 2 foot or 3 foot thick wall of that material, which is mud.
And this is just mud on the site that you excavated. It's not anything special. It's just the way it's mixed with the other
with the straw.
Yeah,
and you need to be a bit careful about, you know, there are ingredients in mud, believe it or not. You can actually get quite I'm afraid to say anything now after last guest. I'm afraid I'm going to say millions of times.
Don't worry, we like them today. You're allowed.
But yeah, you might need to add a bit of sand. You might need to add a bit of clay. There's a very simple test to figure out what your soil is like. But that's all you need to do, and you can start building.
And the material's free. No VAT.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So why was that one of the reasons you decided to build with cob? From a cost perspective, environmental perspective.
Environmental was probably the main driver, I suppose, to begin with.
Yeah, but Fela, this came to me one day and decided, we're going to build this mud house. Do you want to go on a course in Cork? And I was like, what, pay to go on a course on my holidays? Because I've been a carpenter all my life since I was 16.
Yeah.
And the idea of going on a course to pay to build a house for somebody seemed crazy. But once we actually went there, did the course... It was so inspiring, actually. The day after the course finished, I asked Fela to marry me.
I'd been looking for a proposal for 5 years.
Wow. And she had to literally drag you to that course.
Yeah.
Drag me. But
not drag you for the proposal. Drag you to go to the course. But you were exposed to it, Fela, to alternative building options when you were travelling.
Yeah, we went away together in 2001. We went off to the Southern Hemisphere and we worked in Australia and New Zealand, and just kind of being on the other side of the globe. I mean, even, you know, things like you're trying to keep the heat out, you know, you're trying to keep the bright sunlight out. You're not so concerned about draining water away from buildings. You know, just every way you worked with a building was different to what I'd learned in college. And then, you know, just working with different materials, you know, stuff I hadn't really, techniques I hadn't used before in Ireland. So it really opened my eyes up to different possibilities. And when we came back to Sligo, I was very lucky to work for a very well-known sustainable architect, Colin Bell. So he was always using a lot of natural materials, kind of alternative, more environmentally friendly materials. And he had a book about cob on his shelf in his office. So I kind of found the book and then started researching it and discovered there was this course on down in Cork. So that was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll shout it out there again. 51551. Is there anybody out there who is building alternatively, maybe who has questions for the guys? Because I know, as I said, that you've set up your own courses that you operate from home as well.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a sec. Colin, as you said, you're a carpenter and something of a connoisseur of fallen trees, I've read. So, and you've used the timber components from fallen trees within the house as well.
Yeah, nearly all the timber we used within the house is from windfall trees, which lots of farmers and just people around left lying up our way. There's lots of turf for burning, so they don't even burn so much firewood. So I got all those trees milled up and stacked up from a friend of mine, you know, who I fixed his roof. He mills my trees. There's a lot of that happened in the house. But the whole kitchen and the house, the actual staircase is round a big, huge tree. It's pretty inspirational, actually, like what you can do with natural edge timber as opposed to square lines and everything.
Well, for people at home who are trying to visualise what the house looks like, I mean, is it like something out of the Flintstones, like a round mud hut, or what? I mean, is it? Does it look like a house? I mean, I've seen a photo of it, but try and describe
it. It's funny, even now this morning coming in, we met one of my old neighbours. I grew up in Dublin, and she was saying, we showed her a photo and she was like, oh yeah, she had the mud hut in her head, and her comment was, it's a real house. house. And it's a very nice real house.
It's
so
gorgeous.
I mean, yeah, they I mean, you can build them very straight and it would, nobody would actually know that it's a mud house compared to, you know, using concrete block or something. But the beauty of mud is that you can curve it, you can really sculpt it.
Yeah, it's very sculptural.
So
there's no hard edges and you literally mould it with your own hands. So we really took advantage of that.
All the light fittings would be moulded with the mud, like, with lovely uplighters, and it's all the bookshelves are basically carved into the wall. There's no hard straight edges really within the house.
So see this block of mud straw, which is in the shape of a USA biscuit tin. Do you build with those blocks or do you have your timber structures, your erect timber structures, and pack the mud in between it?
Well, we used timber shuttering, like kind of plywood sheets on either side, just because we were building so big. It meant we didn't have to be quite so careful about the shapes that the timber shuttering kind of held, you know, the mud, or it showed the shape we wanted to build the walls. But you actually don't need them. We were using them nearly like a guide. Like the mud is self-supporting straight away. So if you were building a smaller project, you'd actually just build straight up mud on mud without any timber there.
There's no timber supports.
There's no timber supports.
Even in Africa and Yemen, there's 9-storey buildings made from just mud and straw, like
I've seen those.
It's very structurally sound as a material.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. It's well worth a look at the website now. It's a gorgeous house. It's definitely hand
sculpted. What's the website there while we're at it?
www.mudandwood.com.
Mudandwood.com. Okay, and how long does it take to dry? I mean, first, when did this project start for you?
We started the foundations for the house in January 2008. And then it would have been quite a slow process. Colin literally built it by hand himself. I helped when I could, but we had babies
Christian, a friend of mine who I helped put his roof in his house, he was up helping us a lot as well.
Yeah, and then we finally moved in. We moved in kind of November 2010. It wasn't even fully ready then, but we couldn't hold out anymore because we lived in the caravan on site. And at that stage, we had 2 dogs and 2 children.
How long were we in the caravan?
So we were making a family as well as making the house. Yeah. So I was slowing
the
process up.
Trying to keep each other warm those winter nights.
Oh yeah, that's it.
No. How long did you live in the caravan?
Well, we were living in the caravan before we started the project, so 6.5 years.
Oh my god, those last six months were.
But the beauty of the house was we actually lived on site for a few years before we designed the house, like, which really gave us an idea of what we wanted to build, which is a massive
thing. The house is really connected to the site, all the views, all the, you know, kind of the microclimate on the site. We'd all that figured out before we started the design process.
It sounds like the large proportion of it is from natural materials. What did you have to use that wasn't?
There's a tiny bit of concrete in the house, in a few windowsills and just in the bathroom
wet room
areas. In the shower. I think that's nearly it.
And a highly dense insulation that was getting discarded that we used within the roof.
Yeah, there's a lot of salvaged materials that was getting dumped, so we used that in the roof.
Even the bathtub was out of skips. Being a Scotsman, I went kind of skip scavenging quite a lot, and it's amazing what we found, the materials.
Yeah, we built a lot
I thought that was quite interesting, because when I did my house, I loved going around to the salvage yards. But even for you, salvage yards are quite posh. I mean, you literally were on the side of rivers, out of skips, finding out where a house was being demolished, trying to grab stuff.
It's amazing when you're driving a van, you can see over walls a bit better, like, and you just go and ask the people, are you using that? And they're like, no, I should take it away. It's only in the way.
Okay, so the big question, how much did it cost, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, we built it, I think, for around €85 a square foot. But, I mean, the kind of house it is, you'd probably be looking at about 200 plus a square foot. You know,
total cost then?
Total cost about 120,000. But but I mean, the thing I suppose is a lot of the materials were free, but then the materials we did have to buy, things like our hemp lime plaster on the outside of the house, or where we use natural insulations.
But the windows and the heating system, we spent lots of money.
40,000, I'd say, went on windows and heating alone. So it meant that we could get the really Rolls Royce grade A stuff, you know, for the stuff we had to spend money on.
Especially the windows, keep them out the elements in the West Coast. That's very important to have.
And our heating system's really high spec as well, but it means now our fuel bills are virtually zero.
And does it do that? It keeps the heat in the winter and...
Yeah, it acts like a big thermal storage heater, you know, so it kind of absorbs the heat during the daytime, and then slowly, kind of as the temperature drops in the house, it releases the heat. But it's because it's such big, thick, dense walls, it never really, like, the environment in the house is very stable. It never fluctuates more than 2 or 3 degrees. Like, okay. We always get a bit of surprise in the morning if there's been a really hard frost or even if snow comes. In the caravan, we were really aware of what was going on with the weather outside, but with the house, you don't know.
Is there any, what's the insurance difficulties with a house like that?
Definitely. Well, building it, there wasn't that much trouble, but insuring it when, building it, yeah, I suppose it wasn't too bad. There's a few, you'd need to go to specialised companies, but once you know what specialised companies to go to, there isn't a problem then, mm-hmm. you know, so I mean.
Yeah, mud as a material doesn't burn. It's actually bakes like clay if it goes in fire, for example.
Yeah, there was a Cobb house in County Cork that was subject to an arson attack a good few years ago, and it actually got stronger because it fire bakes the mud, basically. It's a pottery house now,
wow.
rather than a raw clay house.
Well, listen, plenty of text coming in here. Hey guys, I've done a lot of research on Cobb buildings, vernacular houses in Ireland. Just this morning I was on the Heritage Council website trying to find info on such, wondering what basic regulations govern the building with Cobb, and is there any support from councils or government organisations on Cobb building and design? And that comes in from Dahi in Cork.
There isn't any help that I'm aware of yet, and there is a point there where there's new the Part L regulations, they're the kind of ones about energy use in buildings. They changed in December and they're quite strict now and quite onerous. And they are, I suppose Cobb is a little bit outside what the calculations allow for. So it would be more difficult now to build a Cobb house within the regulations, but you can do it. It would probably take a little bit more work and you'd probably have to work with your building control officer a bit closely to mm-hmm. get it through. I know in England now, like we've built our walls 2 foot thick and then we super insulated everywhere else to kind of compensate for that, and we super insulated our north and east walls. I can't actually tell the difference when I'm in a room that's completely surrounded by insulated walls compared to a room that's surrounded by Cobb walls. Mm-hmm. But now in England they're building them 3 foot thick, and it's not because you need to structurally, it's to comply with the regulations.
Yeah. Okay. Jim in Tullamore, what happens if you have floodwaters to contend with and it starts to be washed away or cracked over time due to extended dry periods?
I wouldn't really build in flood areas. That's definitely one for the start, but there was great crack when we started building up in Sligo in the west coast. All the neighbours thought it was going to wash away with the rain, but you know it doesn't at all. Like, hey, it's a great material. You actually build in stonework up to over knee high.
Okay.
To get it off the ground.
Yeah.
The thing with Cobb, they say, is you put a good pair of boots on it, which is the stone walls, and then the roof with quite decent size overhangs on the roof, which stops the weather. And then the Cobb's actually lime rendered. Finished okay. on the edge, which lets everything breathe.
Well, the courses, I mean, it's clever the fact that you've spent so many years researching and now you're imparting your knowledge on what seems to be having an increase in interest from various parts of the country, people wanting to look for alternative uses. So you do intensive mud and wood course, practical renovate a cottage course, build a roof course, and build a partition and hang a door.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of simple DIY courses. We found there was a lot of interest in people that wanted to learn these skills, especially nowadays. So we actually came up with a whole list of courses there, which definitely do help the, you know, the average builder or people just interested.
Yeah, and I think what we found is there are a few people doing Cobb courses around Ireland, and we did one of them ourselves back in 2005. But and we do run Cobb courses ourselves, but we also found the complementing courses. Okay, you can learn to build your walls, but what do you do when you need to put the roof on or you want to divide up the inside or hang your door? So we run a lot of those that complement it. Mm. So they're the kind of practical how to actually finish off your house.
As well,
you'd have to be. I mean, I watch Grand Designs and I do. And this sounds like it sounds like a Grand Designs programme. And you just want to have the time and the patience and the energy. And you see people at the end of their tether. And I know from doing my house with the builder and the architect, I mean, you're an architect, Fela, you the builder. As a married couple, surely to God, it was very stressful, and there came times when you were at each other's throats.
At the start, it definitely was. Like, hey, I would be out doing a little piece of work and Fela would come out maybe half a day later, come back from work and, no, that's not the way I envisioned it. Can you tear it down? I don't like it. And I would have a hissy fit and a bit of a tantrum and say, well, I'm not changing that. That's
and then you're going, I'm storming off to my caravan with no rooms and the two children and the two dogs.
Yeah. And then the next morning I'd go and change it. But after time went on, I just got Fela out and says, this is how I'm doing it. Sign it off, and then it worked smoothly after that. It worked really
It took
good
us
after.
A while to kind of figure out that dynamic, but
now we work really well together.
You did then fall into a kind of a builder architect relationship.
Yeah.
But we're kind of approached at the start to do one of those programs, but we really decided there was enough pressure as it was being a husband and
wife.
Yeah,
we thought a husband and
partner.
Like being
in love good fights in those programmes.
Yeah, being in the building game, we knew how much stress there is to building a house, and we thought building our own house, and it was so experimental, we weren't quite sure how things were going to turn out. Mm. And we thought, yeah, we don't need to have the entire nation
watching
our marriage fall apart.
The finished house, after the finished house came out, we really wish we'd nearly went in one of those programmes. It's come out so beautiful.
But like I suppose that's even really a thing to say about the courses we run, that we also offer a backup service. So there's a lot of people might love to build, say, a cabin, you know, for a bit of extra space in their back garden, but they're a bit nervous of certain aspects of it. So that's a service we offer too, that you can come on the course, learn how to do it, and you start on your project. And if you find there's a point you just get a bit stuck, we'll come and we'll help you for a day or two.
Or just being the other end of your phone to reassure you that you're doing the right thing. And especially with photographs now, you can kind of send a photograph to somebody, you're doing fine.
And so we hope that'll give people the confidence, you know, to tackle the projects that maybe they've been putting on the back burner.
OK, well, news of another very interesting building plan was announced yesterday in New Zealand, which I know you've spent quite a lot of time in, Fela. You'll all remember the tragedy of the earthquake that struck Christchurch on the South Island and the subsequent decimation of lots of its buildings there. Well, one of the iconic buildings in Christchurch is St John's Anglican Church in Latimer Square in the heart of the city. And so they've taken steps for a very interesting temporary replacement church. Fela, you've seen anything like that before?
I haven't, but I love it. But I mean, that's one thing I'd be quite passionate about. I love the idea of looking at unusual materials and finding a way of using them in a different way. It would definitely be something we did a lot in our house. I think it looks fabulous and a brilliant idea. Yeah. It solves
some of our
paper recycling
problems. We're lucky enough to have spent a year
in
New Zealand, and we spent time in Christchurch, and it's
a
very beautiful city.
Yeah,
and
it's desperate.
They certainly don't get nearly as much rain as here, mind you, but I'm sure the material holds up great. Yeah.
All right, well, listen, thanks for coming in to talk to us about your own house, and I hope you're happy and warm. You seem to be warm and contented.
Yeah, the website's well worth a look at, so it's modandwood.com.
All right, Fela Butler and Colin Ritchie, thanks very much. Good morning to you both.